It's 12:08. This is WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and I'm sorry, but that is not the theme for the Wintrust Business Lunch. It is the song we sing when we try to get the federal and state government to come through with some of the things they said they would come through with during a pandemic. Terry Savage at terrysavage.com, the Tribune columnist, and who joins us Wednesdays here on WGN Radio, is ready to roll. I've got lots of questions for you, and Terry, as always, will open the phones, 312-981-7200. Terry's with us until the bottom of the hour today, until 12:30. We'll take your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Hi, Terry. Welcome back.
Good to be back. Some market rallies.
What's
back
that?
Toward the old highs.
Yeah, no kidding. It's inching ever up, and I keep waiting for the other half of the W. What's going on here?
As Lord Keynes said, the market can stay illogical longer than you can stay solvent. Never fight the market. And the market's fueled by money, and there's tons of money, not necessarily going into the economy, as businesses only partially reopen. Consumers have their own woes, and so where's it going? Into the market, and that's what you see on Wall Street.
Is this because of the government bailout, or is this because the market has confidence that the businesses are going to recover?
Well, the market always looks far ahead, but it's going to have to look very, very far ahead for its expectations if it goes back, and we're very close, within a couple percent of the highs of early January. Now, I think this is primarily because of the money that isn't really getting into the hands of people yet. I know, because I get emails and posts on my blog from all of you, that you can't still, and I'm trying desperately to get through to the state of Illinois Unemployment Department. Those claims aren't being paid out. I'll tell you, here's an astounding article in Bloomberg. A new report says one-third of the unemployed who deserve benefits have not been paid.
Wow.
That's their estimation based on the $146 billion in unemployment benefits in the last 3 months through May that were paid out, which is more than all of 2009.
Is that nationwide, Terry?
That's nationwide. But even that figure, it says, falls short of a total bill that should have reached about $214 billion. But because not only Illinois and Florida and a number of other states whose systems just cannot deal with the influx of claims, this is money that should have been paid out that wasn't. So it's not going into the hands of people who desperately need it. We know that. We know that by example here in Illinois, but a national figure, too.
But that's not that it's going to the wrong place, but simply that it hasn't...
It hasn't got distributed yet. Because, I mean, look, I'm swamped. I continue to push, so I'm trying to get through to the state of Illinois for explanations, for ways in and around. People are dialing hundreds of times a day and using robo-dialers, which, of course, complicates things, and cannot get through the system. They've been approved, but they can't certify. They've gotten debit cards and have been approved, but no money lands there. And there is just really no way to get these things taken care of. And I've heard from people who literally can't buy their medicine or feed their kids.
First part of that statement was one-third of the people who deserve unemployment benefits have not yet received them. One-third.
Exactly. Now, theoretically, and I forget how many billions of dollars it was that people will receive checks, but theoretically that will come. But it doesn't come in time to feed your kids this week.
One last thing before we take a break, and then your phone calls, 312-981-7200. We do have an open phone line for Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. What about the unemployment numbers?
That's a big thing tomorrow. The pessimists are saying we could see numbers, the national jobless figure on Friday, approaching 20%. That's really astounding, one in five. And the claims for unemployment, weekly claims, tapered off a little bit last week. Tapered off is relative, though. I mean, we're still seeing spectacular numbers of claims on a weekly basis. And so this isn't over yet. And you see that in announcements from Edelman here in Chicago, which had said, we're going to keep you all on, keep you all on. But they see their revenues dry off. They've dipped into their reserves. And so even companies that had every intention and announced they would do their best to keep employees on, as this thing drags on, are suddenly announcing that they're going to have to make layoffs. People who manage to squeak through on lowered hours, perhaps, or work from home and take furloughs and part-time. Now, so this continues. It's not like it's getting better on the unemployment front.
We'll pause here. Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. Terry, come back and answer some of our listeners' questions. Although, since it seems like the country is opening up, even Illinois is, Chicago today, can we be a little optimistic that maybe we're at the peak of the unemployment? People are going to go back to work. Terry Savage, answer the question from me, then we'll go to our listener calls. And that is, do you think we've reached the peak of unemployment?
I hope so. I mean, I hope nothing comes along like another wave of the pandemic or an extension of the civil unrest that really derails economic recovery. It seems like we ought to have reached the peak of unemployment, or the depths of it is a better way of putting it. And the stock market, I was just looking at some numbers. The stock S&P 500 has jumped nearly 40% over the last 50 trading days. It's the largest 50-day rally in history, off the lows of a little over 15,000 on the Dow, I should say.
Yeah, you're encouraged. You know, it's so funny because I'm the guy that says the glass is always half full. But to me, that means, well, it was half empty. The only reason it had such an extraordinary run is because things were so extraordinarily bad.
Yes, it was extraordinarily empty in March, and it was extraordinarily frightening. Now, I've always said nobody got rich betting against America. But I know that a lot of people panicked, and that was my goal, to keep you from panicking.
Yeah, right. Well, I think if you were, as you said, putting some money in there every month, you bought some stocks at pretty good prices.
Yes.
If you were able to do so over the last 2 months. Let's start with Phil. You're a small business guy. Is that it, Phil? You're on WGN.
That's correct. I wanted to see if young lady Terry could help me with a little bit here. Terry, I applied for a small business loan and the grant when they came out, and I was ag, so it was delayed. And it took like 8 weeks, but it came through, and it was put up as a loan only. And luckily, I've gotten through to SBA twice on the phone, and they gave me some clarification. I wanted to see if you knew this. They offered me a loan amount, no interest for a year, and interest after that, a 3-year loan. Anyway, there was nothing mentioned about the grant. And I asked the young lady that I got at SBA, I said, what about the grant? She goes, you need to question them through the question box with the following question. What part of this loan would be the advance I'm being offered, and how do I get that advance? And she said, if you do not use the word advance, they will ignore it. They aren't calling it a grant, even though you applied for a grant. And I said, what do you know about the fact that a small businessman, if you're working individually in ag, it would be only $1,000 per employee? She said, we don't know anything about that. She said, where did you hear that? And I said, from a CPA.
Well, wait, you're probably listening to a lot of the wrong people. There are two different kinds of things. I'm trying to remember the initials of the SBA grant, but the SBA loans, and they do have a separate loan program, which I think for the last 3 or 4 weeks has been closed down right now. And the other thing you might be referring to is the Payroll Protection Act, PPP, program that was done through banks. And then they funneled it to the Small Business Administration. So if you made your application through a bank and there is still PPP money available through the banks, then you get that as a grant that does not have to be repaid as long as you meet certain conditions. Those conditions keep changing, but initially were primarily that the money had to be used for payroll and some could be used for rent, and it had to be done over a period of 8 weeks. Now it looks like that's going to be extended significantly. But if you went through a bank, it was the PPP grant. If you went directly to the SBA, it was a special loan, which they're no longer making. And now the Main Street Loan Program is going into effect. So that's a third program. And finally, there might be another round of stimulus that could impact small businesses. So you need to know what you got. And most CPAs are very well informed, but if you got a PPP loan, that's the grant loan that stays a grant unless you don't follow the rules, and then turns into a 1% loan for 2 years.
Are you a farmer, by the way? Is that what you said, Phil?
No, I run a small ornamental business. We grow plants. We're a small nursery. Let me see if I can question it a little bit further. It's an SBA loan, and I never applied for PPA, but I was offered a quote-unquote grant, a disaster grant to the industry. But the grant didn't come through, but the loan did. But SBA thinks the grant is in that loan, but I have to request it as an advance to them because they're not calling it a grant.
Right.
And the woman said this is a little niche in the thing that they don't seem to know the people that are processing it. But it's not the PPA. It's just a loan.
So you know what? You're beyond my area of expertise, but the SBA has a wonderful office in Chicago. And I'm quite sure that they do know the rules of their direct loans, but you're beyond my area of expertise now.
I appreciate the call, but if nothing else, the word advance is the key word he said, and every now and then we do discover little keys that turn the lock a little quicker. So thanks for the heads up on that, Phil. Dino had a question. You're on WGN. Hi, Dino.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Talk to us. What's your problem? What can you help us with?
Hi, Terry. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to ask you a question. What do you think the chances are, percentage-wise, of the American people receiving another stimulus check?
It's looking a little bit better, actually, and I'm surprised at that. I thought the political standoff would be so great, but I think there's going to be some pressure now on this, in the Senate, to agree to some kind of a program. I think it won't be as generous as many people are hoping for, but it could happen. We're going to have to see how that works out, but I'd say it's better than 50-50 now that there'll be some form of additional stimulus, and we'll have to see what the form will be.
Maybe not $1,200, huh?
Well, it just may come out. It may actually be more than that. It just depends on what they can negotiate between the House, which already passed the HOPE Act, which is extraordinarily generous, and was taken to Treasury Secretary Mnuchin as well. I mean, obviously to the Senate, and McConnell and Mnuchin both said, "Well, let's just see how this one's working so far." You know, it's a long way, as we've learned, between passing an act and getting the money into the hands of people.
A little bit better than 50-50, says Terry Savage. Thanks for the question. Sherry, no stimulus for you yet. Is that right?
That's right. I did receive, though, the letter, but I never received my stimulus, and I don't know if you can help me in any way.
I'll ask you a quick question. Do you file a tax return?
Yes, I did this year. I did last year, but I owed, so that was a paper.
Okay, but when
it was done electronic.
Based on income, under $75,000 on a single or $150,000 on a joint return.
Yes, I.
And you received a letter at your home address.
Yes, I did.
Saying that you should be receiving a stimulus.
Correct.
Okay, that check should be in the mail, or. And you'd be very careful about this. In the recent weeks, they've been sending out a kind of a debit card in a white envelope. I forget the wording on it, but it looks like an advertisement for a credit card. It's a plain white envelope because they didn't want to make them too conspicuous. And as a result, a lot of people threw them away. So look in your mail not only for a check, because they obviously have your home address and they're sending you something, but for an envelope with a debit card in it, and your stimulus could be on that. Keep an eye out for that.
Notice, yeah, because
it's a little bit longer than the letters, unusually. Usually the letter comes 2 weeks after you receive your payment as direct deposit or by check.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, and my notice date for receiving it, even when I look online, it does say May 15th.
Wait one more week and call back next week. Even if you don't get on the air, I'll try and see what I can do if you still haven't gotten it in a week. Okay?
Sherry, thanks for the call. I'm sorry we don't have the money here, but Terry keeps pledging or preaching patience. You said that a third of the people that deserve unemployment have not yet received it. Do you have any idea what the percentage is of people who deserve stimulus and have not yet received it, Terry?
You know, it's far lower. I talk to my IRS contact every week. So now, pretty much for sure, if you filed a tax return, they're just down to the weed ends. And a lot of that was involved with people who filed paper returns in 2019 in spring, just after the IRS sent everybody home. But I would say there's probably less than 15 to maybe 20% of the people who get their stimulus based on their tax returns that have yet to receive it. That's still a lot of people. They're pretty well through by the end of this month. That will be through the Social Security and Social Security disability people. A lot of people on SSI have received theirs, but were required to register their dependent children. Also, people on SSDI, where the government doesn't know they have dependent children, they did register, and there's a vast swath of those people who need them $500 per child most, who have still not received their payments. So I give them a B-minus grade on getting stimulus money out, and a D-minus grade at the state of Illinois for getting unemployment benefits.
That is still choked up. Hang in there, everybody. Mike, you're on WGN with Terry Savage.
Hi. As an independent contractor, if you were approved for a PPP loan making more than $100,000, what's the maximum that you could pay yourself a week?
There is a maximum, and I don't know it offhand. I'm sorry. You have to check with the bank that processed your PPP loan. And I want you to be very, very careful about that. Because if you pay yourself too much, and I remember there is a number, but I can't remember offhand what it is. If you pay yourself too much, it turns from a grant into a loan, and that's, you know, you'd have to pay it back.
Is that a
that's
hard
a
number?
Really important
or is
line.
It, is that a hard number, or is it a percentage of your, say, revenue or something like that?
No. I believe it's a hard number. And I'll look right now and see if I can find it in all my PPP stuff I've collected. But I really want you to check with the banker that helps you get the loan. Okay?
And then for a lot of us that are, like, working from home and don't have a lot of expenses, like, what other expenses can we add into that loan? Because the loan amount was for more, but, you know, can we have car expenses in there? Or
no,
like,
this is why you really, really, really need to check with your banker. The bankers have an interest in this because they advanced this money, and they got, then they sent most of the bankers, and I've got the numbers now here. The loans require employees to be paid no more than what they would normally earn. And for employees that normally earn over $100,000 a year, the maximum weekly payment is capped around $1,925. That's number one.
$1,925 a week?
Well, $100,000 a year implies a couple thousand dollars a week. So your maximum weekly payment is capped at, it's roughly, so you really, this is so important. Because it's wonderful if the money you get is a grant that doesn't have to be repaid. And it's not so wonderful if it, because you have paid money out for the wrong thing, they say, sorry, it needs to be repaid. And they're going to be looking for excuses to do that. Now, they said they're going to audit the big loans, probably not the smaller loans. But some stuff will stand out, and overpaying on salaries or using it for non-approved expenses, and those are very limited expenses, and they keep changing those rules. Talk to the banker who made the loan. You had to get your PPP loan through a bank. That's the person to go back to and get it in writing from them that they think that it's appropriate to do this, that, or the other.
Mike, I'm glad you called in. Good question. $1,925 a week, says Terry Savage, $100,000 a year. Okay, Terry. Whew, good job. Read Terry's stuff at terrysavage.com. And do join us again next Wednesday, Terry.
Thanks, John.
Stay well. It's 12:38. This is WGN. Steve Bertrand's in the Wintrust Business Lunch Newsroom, and here is the Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Well, as Barry Manilow says, looks like we made it, at least to phase three. The city of Chicago has begun the process of opening up today. Outdoor restaurants will be able to open, and non-essential workers can return to the office, though it's not clear yet just how many will. Chicago Inno says a high-speed hyperloop between Chicago, Columbus, and Pittsburgh would create $300 billion in economic benefits for the region. That comes from an independent feasibility study. It says the plan is to move from Chicago to Columbus in less than 45 minutes, and then Columbus to Pittsburgh in under 30 minutes, at an average of about 500 miles an hour. And Chicago tech and startup companies raised at least $68 million in venture capital through the month of May. As Chicago Inno says, that's up a bit from April, but still down from the traditional numbers because of the pandemic. I'm Steve Bertrand. That's the Wintrust Business Minute.
Still looking at a green screen. We'll keep you posted here on the Wintrust Business Minute and the Wintrust Business Lunch on how the markets are doing. But as you heard Terry Savage say, you can't bet against them. They do what they want to do, and they aren't always logical or predictable. So what are those numbers, Steve?
Yeah, the arrows are pointing up. The Dow is up 396 points, the NASDAQ up 56, and the S&P 500 up 33.
And Orion Samuelson joins you now for a quick look at some of the market news.
Okay, in the agricultural commodity market activity today, the July wheat contract is up 3¾ cents a bushel. July corn, on the other hand, is down a penny a bushel. And the July soybean contract is up 5½ cents a bushel. Livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the June lean hog contract, down $3.75 a hundredweight. June live cattle contract is up 40 cents a hundredweight, and the August feeder cattle contract is up 80 cents a hundredweight. We continue to get cancellation news from some of the summertime events, including the FFA convention. FFA convention for the state of Illinois will look a lot different this year. It'll be a virtual convention, the first they have ever done, and they'll start the sessions on June 9th, and they'll continue until June 11th. That'll be in Springfield, but it will be virtual, and if you go on your FFA site, they'll be able to give you instructions on how to watch the FFA convention. Another county fair cancellation yesterday that deeply affects the Chicagoland area, DuPage County Fair at Wheaton, will not be held this year. Earlier, we had heard about the Ogle County Fair being canceled this year. The Wisconsin State Fair is canceled this year. We're still waiting for word from Indiana and from Illinois on the state fair futures in those states. And then finally, export news. Exporters book deals to ship 186,000 tons of soybeans to unknown destinations. But analysts today said it was likely going to China, even though the tensions are mounting between the two countries over trade. And everybody, however, is thinking that it is China, according to Beben Everett, who is with INTL FC Stone. Private Chinese companies had inquired about prices for new crop Gulf Coast shipments yesterday, according to word from traders who have knowledge of what's going on in the U.S.-China trade situation. That's your money on 720 WGN.
Wintrust Business Lunch, WGN. I'm John Williams. Jim Dahlke is the senior editor at Chicago NO. Welcome back, Jim. I hope you're well.
Hi, John. Yeah, doing great. How are you doing?
Really good. So would you say the sector of the Chicago economy you cover is doing better, the same as, or worse maybe than when all of this hit?
Boy, that is the million-dollar question. I would say it depends. I think some of the sectors that were hit hard early on are still being hit really hard. The startups that operate in the travel industry, in the hospitality industry, absolutely are being hit hard. We are, working on stories right now. We're currently hearing about more layoffs from companies in the Chicago tech ecosystem, and we are working with working on stories like that. So, yes, companies are still struggling, but, many companies are actually finding quite a bit of traction right now, especially around food. And, we just wrote a story yesterday about a Chicago startup called Tovala. They just raised a $20 million funding round. They create a smart oven and meal kit delivery service,
right?
So you can cook food right from your oven there. They're a really interesting hardware startup in Chicago and really one of the businesses that's seeing a lot of traction right now.
We could do every day a long segment about how Zoom came from not obscurity. They were up and around. Plenty of us were using Zoom beforehand, but now it's become something that feels vital. And there was a story this morning, something like the valuation of Zoom is now equivalent to the four major airlines combined. If my numbers are off, they're not off by much. It's just incredible how all of a sudden that kind of technology is so vital. I guess that's why I was kind of interested in generally how's the sector doing, because many of them do find themselves at the right place at the right time.
Absolutely. And, I don't think Zoom is going to be the only player that reaps a lot of rewards here in kind of the video conferencing space. Zoom, has seen massive, massive growth. I think it's, sales are up over 100% year over year. And it's not surprising. I mean, they have absolutely been the big tech winner of the COVID-19 crisis. And, they did not see this coming either. I think that it caught them a little off guard, and
right,
they've had to kind of tweak their product a little bit, certainly around some encryption and some safety protocols. And, just at the end of the month, they kind of came out with a new update to their platform now that requires you to add in a personal meeting ID and a passcode to use even the free version of its software. So, they've had to keep up with the increased demand. But yeah, I mean, we're going to be seeing a lot of players that come into this space, whether it's videos for doing business, for doing events, for getting folks together, because, I don't think even as cities open up, people are going to be, fast to get to the airports and get on airplanes.
Or maybe go to restaurants. So there's Tovala. Pronounce that for me. T-O-V-A-L-A.
Yeah, Tovala.
Tovala. I'm just reading from your article about this. And we've talked a little bit about this before, but let's just finish this thought. Founded in 2017, Tovala created a countertop oven that scans the barcode of a Tovala meal or other brand name grocery items to know exactly how to cook the meal. The oven uses a combination of steam, baking, and broiling to cook restaurant quality meals in under 20 minutes. So these are meals designed specifically for this oven then, right?
That's right. So they started kind of with this meal service that's tailored specifically for the oven they created, but they have expanded into allowing you to scan, the barcodes of other grocery items to sort of perfectly cook food. You know, if you get like a chicken, for example, it'll cook it within that oven for you if you buy that at the grocery store. So there are some brand name grocery items that they connect with as well. And, you know, one area that they're really doing well in that kind of is perfect for our current times is the convenience factor. They are making cooking as effortless as possible. Literally, it is a scan of the barcode, put it in the oven, and it will do its thing. So, you know, what they have found is that their solution is often cheaper than just regular food delivery. So if you're going to use a Grubhub or an Uber Eats, you know, their meals are around $11 or $12 each, which will save you a few bucks from, you know, kind of using a Grubhub or an Uber Eats, for example. And it's obviously a lot faster and a lot more convenient than kind of prepping an entire meal, you know, while, you know, a family, for example, is working on, you know, teaching their kids, doing the homeschooling thing and trying to live life during the coronavirus here. So the convenience factor for Tovala, I think, is what really has kind of accelerated their growth. And they're seeing, you know, a big growth in sales, a big growth in their meal kit delivery users. And to this day, they have delivered over 1 million meals.
Also on this sort of entertainment front, Cameo and Cards Against Humanity, Chicago-based organizations, are doing pretty well too, huh?
That's right, yeah. So I spent the last 2.5 months or so kind of following the Cameo's growth and checking in with their CEO every week or so and just kind of seeing how their business has been impacted by the coronavirus. And, in short, the quarantine has been very good to Cameo. They are a celebrity shout-out app. So they have an entire marketplace of celebrities where you can go on, request a video, and send it to somebody for a birthday gift, for an anniversary gift, get it for yourself if you want to. And they have just seen an absolute explosion of growth. They have added a ton of new celebrities to their platform, anywhere from, you know, Mandy Moore to Mike Tyson. The entire cast of Tiger King just about was on their platform, and that show was really popular earlier this spring on Netflix. And, they have seen a huge, huge revenue growth. They are expecting to do $100 million in bookings this year. In the month of April, they were actually profitable, which even doesn't sound like a huge achievement, but for a high-growth startup, profitability is not really what's the most important thing at the moment. And so the fact that they were profitable in the month of April for a high-growth startup was a pretty impressive feat. Their growth, they said, is about a year or two ahead of where they're even expected to be.
Remember, the last time they were in the news was when Rod Blagojevich got out of jail and started doing these things. I don't know that he's still attracting a lot of attention, but marquee stars are, and sometimes they're funny little niche people that folks are dialed in on. My son got one for his birthday a week ago from somebody, and it was just so thoughtfully, perfectly tailored to Griffin. And by the way, some of the people really do deliver the message thoughtfully. They read the request and they really hone in on it. My brother got one from his daughter, from Fergie Jenkins, the other day. Ferg reaching out to my bro. It was the thing's just brilliant, and it's so simple. It's like, I should have thought of that.
Exactly. And I think that authenticity is what's so important. And, you know, the whole platform sort of falls apart if the celebrities involved don't really take the time to do a good job. So I think that's what's so great about the platform is that, you know, it's working out for everybody. It's working out for the people who are receiving the videos. And then, you know, for the celebrities that are putting these together, I mean, they're making 75% of the transaction. So they're getting paid. And it's often, you know, a lot of these celebrities who are kind of in the more maybe B2C or maybe they're on the internet celebrity rung, you know, their events are canceled. You know, if they've got a stand-up gig, if they've got a fan meet and greet, if they've got a concert, you know, they can't go out and do that right now. So Cameo is really one main revenue stream for a lot of these folks.
And then Cards Against Humanity has a new puzzle. Talk to me a little bit about this latest venture by Cards Against Humanity.
That's right. So a couple of the founders of Cards Against Humanity have a new jigsaw puzzle game. So, you know, talk about kind of launching a product at the right time. I mean, everybody is doing jigsaw puzzles right now. I mean, the popularity of puzzles is just through the roof. And so, you know, this is something that they've been working on for the last few years. And their company is called the Magic Puzzle Company. And it's a really interesting product. It's a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And then, you know, it's got an actual magical ending when you put in the very final piece of the puzzle. So an actual physical illusion takes place once you finalize the puzzle. The founders won't say exactly what the illusion is because they want to keep it a surprise and have people check out the puzzle, but you know, I'm looking at their Kickstarter right now, which is just wrapping up today. It has raised $3.4 million on Kickstarter and is the most backed puzzle project ever on the Kickstarter platform.
I can't get this puzzle yet. It'll cost $20, though, to get it online now, but they haven't actually delivered these, right?
Right. So they're taking their orders now, and then they will fulfill them as they come in. You know, I was talking to Max Timken, who's the Cards Against Humanity founder and also behind this project as well, and said, you know, they built these puzzles with really high-quality puzzle cardboard. They really wanted to make a puzzle that didn't have a lot of dust to it, that was really built really strongly and really well. And he said that they just about cleaned out the world's supply of high-quality puzzle cardboard. They had to get it milled literally just last week. So they ordered about as much as they could, and they are continuing to order it because I think the demand for this has even far surpassed what they had expected.
So puzzles, lo and behold, are suddenly popular, board games, things like that. So too is the notion that I ought to be able to provide my own food or at least supplement it. Who knew that would be happening? But it is, and there's a startup in Chicago that is kind of catering to that space too.
Yes. So the startup is called Rise Gardens, and they allow you to kind of grow your own vegetables, fruits, and herbs within your own home inside. So they create these hydroponic gardens, and it's a really interesting startup, actually. It's founded by the former CEO of SportsVision, which is a sports technology company, been around for a long time. They're actually kind of famous for inventing that yellow first down marker that you see on your football screen when you're watching football on TV. So they're a company kind of based on that. And he now is working on this new project called Rise Gardens. And just last week, they were able to raise $2.6 million in some funding, got some big-time investors in their product as well. And so, yeah, lots of people are interested in kind of growing their own fruits and veggies inside in Chicago. You know, you can't always operate that outdoor garden. So kind of what they've created is an in-home IoT-connected hydroponic system where you can grow plants kind of within the four walls of your own house.
Wow. There's such interesting stories, and we didn't even get to the one about Level X. Johnson & Johnson grant helps Level X educate physicians on COVID-19. The same people that make video games have made one that educates users on COVID-19. I think we could all use that, and you can read more about that at AmericanInno.com/Chicago. That's the best way to find some of these stories, Jim?
Yeah, or ChicagoInno.com. Both of those URLs will get us right to where our homepage is. And there you can sign up for the Beat newsletter, which is our daily email newsletter.
Yeah, that's a good idea, the Beat newsletter. Yeah, I think that a lot of these stories, and again, we just get through half of the ones that you guys feature, and we kind of cherry pick them. And if you want to read them, share them, or find out even more like this, that's the place to go. Give us that website one more time.
ChicagoInno.com.
C-H-I-C-A-G-O. INNO.com. Okay, Jim, keep up the good work. Thanks for your help today.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.